As I was in a season, which I feel like a lot of us were still in the season of coming to a place of, in our hearts, a foundation of understanding, God, you know what you're doing. I might not know what you're doing, and it's okay if I don't know what you're doing, because God knows what he's doing. And as long as we can be convinced in our hearts from the word that God speaks to us, that God is not abandoning us here. He didn't lead us here to leave us here. God is going to do faithfully what he has told you he's going to do. If we can be secure in that, we can take this moment right now and we can walk out this season in victory. But the reason the enemy has sent such an assault, and I've had so many people come up and say, you know what, this is exactly where I'm at. So I know a lot of you are right here with me. I'm not in this boat alone. A lot of us are right here in the season. The reason the enemy has sent this assault is because he knows we're at the finish line. He knows where we have stood in faith. He knows the power of the word of God in our life and in us coming in agreement with it. So the assault of the enemy has been very purposeful. And in this season, don't let that throw you off guard. Don't be put off guard with how intense this assault has been in this season. Because the enemy is well aware a lot of times of where we're going, regardless if we know. He knows we're going towards victory. He knows we're going towards triumph. We, a lot of times, you know, it's not as easy to know it. It's not as easy when you're in it to know it. But he has done this as many times as he's had to understand. The enemy knows that when a believer gets in faith, that a believer is going to overcome and that a believer is going to have victory. He knows this about our life. As I was preparing for this, now this is something that this is my book. This is my word from God. I share with you my word from God because I believe that God gives us these words so that we share them. I might have to get my phone. Are we not going to have time? Can we have time, Jeremy, up here? No, are you? I will go over. I know I will. I know myself. Time goes by fast when I'm up here. As I was looking back through this, the storyline. How many of you, God has ever spoke to you through the Bible in a story? All of us. That's the way that God mainly speaks us in his word. And so, even as I was preparing for this today, I was saying, God, you know, I've used this story before. You've spoken to me this story before in a completely different way. How many of you have ever, God, done that? Man, he showed you something in the word, and then he came back and showed you completely something else in the word, and you're like, God, are you... How can that be? But one thing about God is when God speaks, the word never changes, but it never stays the same either. The word never changes, but when you're ingesting the word of God in your season, man, every day is a new thing in the word of God. When you're growing in the word of God, every day is a new growth in the word of God. So what I'm going to bring to you tonight is a completely different perspective on a story you might have heard before. On a story I think I've preached from this pulpit before. But let me tell you, it is, I believe, the moment of what God is wanting to say to us. Now, God is not a God who abandons us. How many of you have that word? God has spoken that word to you, and you've grabbed it, and you're letting him build on that. Every day I'm having to let God build on that. God, you don't abandon me. It's a lie of the enemy. Deuteronomy 4:31, I love this scripture, says, "For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the covenant that he made with you." God will not forget what he's promised you. He made a covenant with you. When he came and he spoke that word to you in the season, he made a covenant. And God's word, he says he will not forget that. But I know why the enemy brings this battle so hard at the end. It's because he wants us to walk away from what God has covenanted us in this season. In this season, what God has promised you, the path he's given you, the life that he's having you walk in, I know it looks like God is not going to be faithful. I know that. I'm experiencing that. I'm walking through that. But church, you've got to know without a doubt that God is not a God who abandons his people. Psalms 27:28 says, "For the Lord loves justice, and he will never abandon the godly. He will keep them safe forever. I know I'm drilling this home, but I'm going to tell you, Sunday morning was such a miraculous time. I didn't get to put all my scriptures in. So I'm making sure you know that the Word of God is true, that God will not set you up for failure. That was not His plan when He set that Word in your heart in this season. 2 Corinthians 4:9 says it in a way that I kind of feel it a lot of times. It says, we are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. How many of you have been hunted down this season? How many of the enemy can smell your fear? He knows exactly what kind of season you're in. It says, we may get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. So, it's extremely important as we keep on walking that we know God put us here. He's not leaving us here. He's not forsaking us. So tonight, we're going to build on that word. We're going to build on the word and the confidence that we have as God's people, that God is not a God who abandons us. If you'll open up your Bibles with me, if you have it, to 1 Samuel 27. And we're going to just kind of look at a story from a bunch of different angles. I got up one morning a couple of weeks ago, and I heard these words in my heart. I heard them over, and I heard them over, and I heard them over again until I got into the word, and I was seeing what God was telling me in it. God said, you're not in the wrong place. You're not out of my placement. You just have to have your focus right in this season. I want to tell you that because I feel like that's the word tonight. You're not in the wrong place. You're not out of the placement that God has put you in. But a lot of us right now in this season, we're getting our focus off of what God wants our focus to be on. And when we do that, it makes us feel like we're in the wrong place and we're at the wrong time. But God has placed each one of us strategically in an area, and He knows that that area is where we can see God's deliverance. So I want you to write that down if you have paper and pen. I want you to know that God is saying tonight, because I'm going to keep on coming back and hitting this and hitting this, you're not in the wrong place. You're not at the wrong church. You're not in the wrong city. You're not at the wrong job. You're not in the wrong family. You're not in the wrong place. You're actually exactly where God wants you to be. You just got to get the right focus in the right place because this is the right time. Now, Psalms 95 this morning was, I don't know if y'all look at Bible Gateway every morning, I do. And this was the scripture that was there. And it said, it started out like this. It said, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice. Now, isn't that an awesome scripture? Isn't that such a great scripture? So I'm going to read it to you again one more time, because there's a little bit more coming to that scripture. It says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel. I'm telling you, I took this scripture today and I kneeled. I knew that it's a season to worship God. Even if it don't look in the natural like it's a season to worship God, I'm going to tell you, we change the natural by what we move into supernaturally. And so it says, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, colon. So that scripture right there puts a colon after if you will hear His voice. So what that means is there is a list of information coming out after that. Now, Bible Gateway did not put that in. That was not part of their daily devotion for the day. They took the word of God that was encouraging because that's good. That's what we need. But here's what I want us to dig in a little bit deeper into this. It says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. Now, think about that scripture for a second, because it says, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. I'm going to tell you, God convicted my heart right there quickly, because God will put us, we will walk through trials. How many know that as Christians? We will walk through trials. But when we walk through trials, it is not our place to test God. It's not our place to turn around and say, all right, God, will you be faithful? I'm testing you. See, I've been doing that in my heart just a little bit. I know that I have, because I've been saying, you know, God, I know this is a test. Now, I would never let this come out of my mouth, and y'all are still going to love me. But in my heart, I've been seeing if God would be faithful. Has anybody else been there? You've been saying, I'm going to test these waters just a little bit, and I'm going to see if God is going to be faithful. That's not faith. And that's what the children of Israel did. They walked into a level of where God was testing them, and they walked into it with the heart to see if God was going to be faithful. You don't test God that way. You walk into what God has for you to walk into it by faith. You get into it by faith. And when you don't walk into it by faith, you don't walk into it. You don't get into it. So that's where that in our lives, in this season, yeah, God is testing us. You might as well know it now. He's training us. He's developing us. He's strengthening us. He's doing all these things that we can't do for ourselves. We can't do that. We don't have the ability to know what's in us to do what's in what we need. But when we get in these battles, we've got to make sure in our heart that we're not testing God. That we're not putting God to the test. Because it said, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years, I was grieved with that generation. When you test God, it grieves him. When you won't have the faith that God has done the work already to give you, it grieves him. It says, for 40 years, I was grieved with that generation. And I said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts. See, the place that it's got to begin, it's got to begin in your heart. Faith has got to begin in your heart. Victory has got to begin in your heart. Overcoming has got to begin in your heart. So if you're waiting to get to a place to where you see it, you're not going to see it. And this is the season, church. It's been prophesied. This is the season to see it. This is the season to receive it. This is the season to step into it. This is the season that God wants to do it for you. So as you begin to walk in this season, I believe it is a warning. And I believe it's a good warning that we make sure that we aren't walking through this season testing God. That we're not walking through this season seeing if God will be faithful. Because if he does not come and find you in faith, he's going to come and find you not pleasing God. I know that's hard. I know it's Wednesday night. And it's not a night probably for hard words. But I'm going to tell you, I am really excited about what I believe God is going to do in this church. I'm extremely excited what I believe that God is raising up in individuals in this church. I believe God has ministries in this church that we have yet to see in any churches. I believe God is wanting to do some things that he's been promising so many people for so long in this season. So we have to know what our part is in this season. All right, so because we are unfocused on what God is saying in this season, because I even crossed that out and I put I in big red and I still missed it. Because I am unfocused a lot of times on what God is saying in this season seems at times to be wearing, and it seems to be endless, and it seems to be monotonous. And if you're not saying it, you're probably just not being honest. Because it does seem that way at times. Now, if we go back, and I went in this in a little bit in early service, but we're really going to dig into this. The second service, I don't even think I got into this Sunday. Where we see where David hit a season like that. Where David hit a season, and his season was becoming a cycle for him. How many of you would just be honest and say, this year, man, my season has become a cycle in some ways. It has become a season where it seems like I'm doing the same things and I'm getting the same results and I don't want the same results. I don't want the same things. I don't want to be doing these same motions forever. The word tonight is, you're in the right place. You're in the right season. Get your focus on the right thing. Because that is not the way that the righteous walk. The Bible says that the righteous go from brighter to brighter to brighter seasons. So we have got to understand that just because what we see naturally seems to be a cycle, it is about to turn into a supernatural cycle. We're about to see a speeding up of God's miracles, I believe, in our lives. Now, the Bible says that the way of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. In 1 Samuel 26, we see that David began to struggle in 27 with this right here. Where it says in 27:1, it says, "And David said in his heart, 'Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines, and Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand.'" That's a very, very unlike David statement. That's a very unlike David's nature statement. But see, right before this statement came out of David's mouth, David had walked through a season. He'd walked through an encounter. But God had just tested David with the test of humility. And as God tested David with that test of humility, David won that test. He passed that test. See, Saul was coming after David, and David had the opportunity to take Saul out, which would have given him the throne. David had that opportunity. But here's what David said in 26:11. He said, "The Lord forbid me that I should stretch out my hand against him." So he did not do what he knew he was not supposed to do. But then even more than that, God made him humble himself under Saul. David said it this way. He said, "I am a flea to Saul." Now, I'm going to tell you, because God tells me all the time, God will always put tests of humility in your life. If you're ever going to be something that God can use, God is always going to put tests of humility out there for you to walk into. And it's going to be a choice if you can walk into it or not. If you can humble yourself, the Bible says that God can exalt you. If you can learn when God puts these tests of humility there, that you can learn to humble yourself, God can exalt you. God does this to me all the time. I'm telling you, and I know when one's coming too, because my life gets real peaceful. You know, it seems like relationships get real easy, you know what I'm talking about? And then God will always bring to me, and he did a couple weeks ago. I woke up that morning and he just whispered something into my ear, and it was a humility test. And it hits me like it does every time. Every time, I'm telling you. Every time I'm like, "Oh, God. Oh, no, please." You know, nobody wants to do that. It is a crushing of your flesh every time. You know, my dad is such a humble man. He might want to. I agree. I think you'll get your flesh to a point, but it is never easy, you know. So he puts this test out for me, and it's always, will I do it? Will I love God enough to humble myself and serve him? So every time I have to make a decision, God, or am I going to love you more? Am I going to love you more than me? Am I going to love you more than this situation am I in? Am I going to allow you to do in me what you must know that I need? And so I did. I went ahead and went through it. And after I had done it, I got to praise God all by myself, because you don't get to tell many people about those things. But I'm telling you, those things matter to God. You know what's going on? God is testing you. He's seeing you, are you leadership worthy? Can he put you in a place and trust you to carry out a heart of humility, even when nobody knows? A couple years ago, I was in a season, and it was warfare. And it was a lot of warfare in a battle. And though God came in just with that sweet little simple humble task in that battle, and it was hard. I'll tell you, when you're in a battle, and you've got to humble yourself way down under that battle, it's not easy. And so he put that there for me. And I struggled day after day. I did. I struggled with it for a while. I said, "God, if I do that, nothing good can come out of that." Because, you know, a lot of times when you humble yourself, you're going to look wrong. And everybody already thinks you're wrong anyways, if they're on the opposite side of that. So I said, "God, it's just, it's too hard. That cannot be productive." And God, you know when it's God. He keeps it right there before your face. You know when it's God. So, I did it. And as soon as I walked into that situation and I humbled myself, when I turned around and I walked away, God showed me spiritually that there was an enemy. That there was a mighty fortress that was against. It had been the year battle that we had been standing in. And God showed me an angel come and knock the legs off of that warfare battle. And that battle collapsed that day. And I'll tell you, that battle was over in that moment. Humility is a walk that a Christian has to walk in, and you have got to allow yourself to be moved by your spirit and to do it for God. You got to want to please God enough. You got to want to do what God tells you to do, regardless of what it looks like to other people. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 22:28, it says, "You rescue the humble, but your eyes watch the proud and humiliate them." That is a hard scripture if you're proud. That is. But I'm going to tell you, that is a good scripture if you're choosing to allow God to always work into you humility. Because what it tells you is, He's going to rescue you in those situations. He's going to step in and He's going to be able to use your life in ways that He needs to. Proverbs 16:18 says, that's not it. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor." If you will learn the lifestyle of humbling yourself, of when God comes and puts you in situations to see, will you be here so I can bring you here? If you'll learn that lifestyle, God will continue to lift you up in places of honor. God will continue to lift you up in places of honor that you don't even deserve. God will continue to use your life, because what He knows is He can trust you to walk out a life of humility for Him. And this is the way I always, God teaches me. It says, if I can humble myself before God, God doesn't have to. That's the truth. If you can humble yourself before God, God don't have to do it. God don't have to come in and humble you. And that is telling you, it's much better to be on that side of it. It is much better to be on the side where you're humbling yourself than to be on the side where God has to humble you. You would really wish you would have listened to that voice on that side, because I've been on that side before many times. And it's so good to be able to walk through a season and say, God, I humbled myself because I loved you, and get to see what God's plans for you are in that season. If you can only humble yourself so far, there is only so far that God can lift you up. So if you have a level, if you have a level in your insecurities, if you have a level in your character where you say, God, this is the level, and we don't naturally just know that, but when God gets us to a place that He's testing us and we know that our will is not submitted, there is the level that God can use you. You've capped it. You've capped the level that God can lift you up, is the level that you will allow God to bring you to a humility walk with Him and with others. So we see that David had just walked through that humility challenge. God had just laid that for him there. And David, every time, could bring himself to a place of humility. I tell you, that's one of the number one reasons that David could be king. It's because David could, no matter what the situation is, see himself as God's son, but still see himself as God's son. David never saw himself qualified to be king, never saw himself in a way that even when he was dying, even at the end of David's life, he still saw himself in that way that God needed him to see himself in. Because humility is changing things inside of you that you don't know how to change for yourself. If you could make yourself humble, you probably would. But when God is laying out these steps for you to walk into, if you'll walk into them, God will do the work in you that you can't do for yourself. Out of obedience, we do it. Out of love for God, that we do it. We don't do it for what we're going to get. You do it because you know that God has set that there for you. Now, David, in 1 Samuel 27, David had just had that humility challenge. And then David got into that season where we see, where David felt like his life was going to be like that forever. See, that's where the enemy will come in. When God has come and asked you to do something that crushes your flesh, that binds you, the enemy comes in and lies about that to you. The enemy will come in and try to convince you that God could not work or use that. And that's where we see David was. So then it says that, I'm going to read a little bit in scripture if I can. It says in 1 Samuel 27, it says, David said in his heart, I've already read that. Now we'll start with 2. It says, after David said all of that, then David arose and went over with the 600 men who were with him. And David dwelt with the king at Gath, he and his men, each man with his household, and David with his two wives. I'm skipping over the big words, if you can't tell. Miss McCray, please don't notice. And it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath. So he sought him no more. Then David said, if I have now found favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you? So the king gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore, Ziklag belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. Now, everybody knows Ziklag, right? There's a story coming up about Ziklag. And now the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was 1 full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and raided all the Geshurs and the Gerzites and the Milikites and all of those. For those nations were the inhabitants of the land from old, as you go to Shur, even as far as the land of Egypt. Whenever David attacked the land, he left neither man nor woman alive, but took away the sheep and the oxen and the donkeys and the camels and the apparel and returned and came to Achish. Then Achish would say, where have you made a raid today? And David would say, against the southern areas of Judah, or against the southern areas of, that big word, or against the southern areas of the Kenites. David would save neither man nor woman alive to bring news to Gath, saying, lest they should inform us on us, saying that David did. And thus, this was his behavior the time he dwelt in the country of the Philistines. Now, I want you to notice some things about David right there. That David had decided that God had not told him. That was actually one of the first times that you see that David did not go and see God about what to do. David made a decision out of insecurities. And David went and lived in an area that was surrounded by people that were not David's people. And in that area, what we see is that David began to have, that those people began to have an effect on David spiritually. Because David had removed himself from where God told him to be to get into a place where it was safer and more comfortable. And the people that surrounded David and his men began to have an effect on him. Well, you say, well, what kind of effect did they have? Well, David went back to a crutch that he had had before. David began to lean on deception. See, David, a few years before, remember, with this same king, had leaned on deception. He had pretended he was insane. And good deception is deception. Deception is deception. The other day, actually, it wasn't the other day, it was a couple months ago, I was in the car with my daughter, and I evaded hurting somebody's feelings. This is my thought process. I evaded saying something to somebody, and in that, I was not completely honest. Has anybody ever done that? I always raise my hand because I know it was me. And as soon as I did that, I looked over at her and I saw in Kayla's eyes that gleam. That, oh, so this is okay. So this is okay. And instantly, I had to go back. And I had to say, you know what, that was not completely right. And I had to not hurt feelings, but I'm going to tell you, dishonesty is dishonesty. It is. There's no way around it. You're either going to be truthful or you're not going to be truthful. And if you're learning to lean on a crutch of fear or anxiety or dishonesty, if you're leaning on a crutch, you're leaning on a crutch. It's not God's will for that situation. So David had begun to revert back into leaning on some old things because his environment was not the holy environment that God wanted him to be in. David was obviously not in a place where he was hearing God's direction, where he was hearing God's way for him. So in that moment, we know that David leaned on a crutch, and you might say, well, what does deception mean? Let me tell you, this deception became such a bad issue in David's life that it eventually cost him his son. Deception starts out little, but it ends up real big. Let me tell you, fear starts out real little, but it ends up real big. If the devil can come and get us into a position where we are not, because of maybe even our own guilt, hearing God, the devil can begin to be our voice of truth. And when he does that, we begin to lean on things that we used to lean on or that we never thought we ever would lean on before. And I know it's Wednesday. And I know that's probably not what you want to hear, but I'm going to tell you, crutches are crutches. They are not God's will. And as David began to do that, as he was in that season of his life, that we see that his life was affected by that one decision of insecurity, that one place where he had gotten it, where he removed himself from. So in that, we see that David's life was out of the alignment for God. All right, so then we go on in the story, and it says, we're going to jump down to 28. We're going to start in chapter 28. And it says, "Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war, to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, 'You assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men.'" We all look at that situation a lot of times, and I want to say this right. Oh, I want to walk through this season right, because I feel like this is really important for a lot of us who are in a battle or we've been walking through things in this season. Saul's battle was coming. We know that. Saul's battle was coming. David's misplacement, where David had not heard God, what was going on in David's life, that had nothing to do with Saul's battle coming or not coming. See, Saul was a man, just like David, that had the same situations that David walked through. Saul was accountable for growing, for hearing, for being, for doing. Saul was accountable to God. And we look a lot of times, well, Saul was replaced so David could take the crown. That's not what happened. Saul disqualified himself. Saul disqualified himself. Now, David's heart of obedience and love for God allowed God to lift David up in a time because God knew what was coming. But David did not disqualify Saul. David did not. Now, David's placement out of fear and insecurity almost got David in a situation to where he was used in that battle against Saul. Fears in your life get you a lot of times in placements and out of the placement where you can end up in a situation and you're like, God, how did I end up here? How did I get here? How did I maneuver here? Well, the fears that we allowed ourselves to listen to most of the time got us into that season. Now, we see that Saul's battle right there was his battle. Saul's final battle was because he would not grow spiritually. The Bible says that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, right? In this season you have walked through, there's things that I know about my season and probably yours, and it's that there has been a lot of flesh and blood in that season. But that's not the wrestle. There's probably been a lot of flesh and blood in the enemy has used in that season. But that's not the wrestle. That's not the enemy. What situation that you're in, it's a spiritual situation. And as much as God wants to bless you, God wants to bless them. Now, God's desire was to use you as much as he was using them to strengthen them in that season. But if they were not strengthened, if they were not equipped, if they did not love God, their battles are coming. And when their battles come, that they're not spiritually able to overcome, God better not find us rejoicing in those moments. Because if God comes and finds us rejoicing in those moments, and I'm going to tell you, that's hard. I know that's hard. It is hard when the enemy has used somebody to be the voice of the enemy in your life in a season of warfare. And you have chosen to let that be the person that God used to strengthen you, to cause you to depend on God more. And when the enemy brings a battle that God was trying to prepare them for, when God was trying to strengthen them for, when the enemy brings a battle that they're not prepared for, and it overtakes them. It is hard not to rejoice. It is hard. But the Bible says this. It says if God comes and finds you rejoicing, he will remove his hand of wrath. It says that he never desires for our hearts to be filled with a supernatural war between flesh and blood. See, that's where humility comes in. If you can continue to humble yourself before God, God can come into your situation and he can change that situation and work on your heart all in the process of it. It's sad when you step back and you look at and you see somebody else's life that you knew God was trying to strengthen. You know, there's a lot of situations that me and my husband has been involved in. And my husband says this thing, and I think it is so true. What do you pray for your enemies? Because the truth, we have enemies. People have set themselves. They might not be my enemies, but for some reason, I'm theirs. What do you pray for them? You pray grace. You pray grace. You pray that God gives them the grace to overcome. You pray that God gives them the strength to have a right heart. You pray that God does for them what they can't do for themselves. If you will begin to pray grace into your enemies, God will turn probably a lot of times them into being friends. God can do. The truth is, a lot of times most of them have nobody praying for them. And God might have put you in that situation so that you can be the voice of God that's interceding for what they need to overcome. But as soon as you set yourself up as their enemy, you're out of the will of God. God can't use you. God can't use you in that situation. So we see David here. He walked this line with Saul. And when David's life became to a point where God was wanting to move. See, God wanted to bless David. Remember, God wanted to bless Saul. God wanted to bless David and God wanted to bless Saul. God wanted to bless David and God wanted to bless Saul. But David's life honored God. David's life was a life that loved God. Saul was stubborn. Saul was hard-hearted. Saul would not learn. Saul would not be humbled. Saul would not learn mercy. Saul would not learn grace. Saul would not look at a situation and say, all right, God, what are you doing in me? Because of that. See, God knew the battle that was ahead for Saul. God knew it was there. And God was trying, just like I believe God is trying in a lot of our lives. God is using this season, I believe, to prepare us. Prepare us for what we're going to walk through. But if we don't allow God to come in and to break down stubborn, hard, the truth about it is Saul was just extremely insecure. Saul was an extremely insecure so much of his life. Insecurity causes you to do things that you would never think that you would do. Insecurity will cause you to say things and even believe things that you would never believe that you could believe. But see, that's where God comes in and he begins to whisper these words. And these words, I love to think about it this way because in that situation with David and Saul, see, the battle that was coming against Saul, David almost got messed up in. And in this season, if you find yourself there, if you find yourself in a season saying, God, where are you? God, you're not coming. I want you to take this picture, all right? David almost was in the battle against Saul, dressed fully in Philistine garb, okay? Dressed like a Philistine, going into battle. So anytime that you're in a situation and you feel like, God, you're not speaking to me. God, I don't know what you're saying right here. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to picture yourself like David. I want you to picture yourself fully dressed as a Philistine. And I want you to understand something. God wants to do something for you. Probably not through you. What do I mean by that? God wanted to do that victory for David. God wanted David's hands to be clean. See, we have a Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is the gods of heaven's armies. What that means is there is more for you than that is against you. See, God didn't want to use David to bring him to the throne. God wanted to do that for David with clean hands. So the whole time that David was walking, not understanding really what was going on, God had every part of that season already supernaturally lined out. It was in place for David's life to walk into it. Now see, when David got nervous, he got his hands all involved in it. That's why David almost got his hands dirty. And if David would have gotten his hands dirty, the truth is, God probably couldn't have used David. I believe in this season, God is wanting to do some things for us. I believe God is wanting to do some things that He has seen our hearts, and He has seen our stand, and He has seen our faith. And if He allows us to fight those battles, we might get our hands dirty. Because we don't fight a battle with flesh and blood. We don't fight a battle in the natural. And a lot of us have been trying to, in the natural, do things that we thought that God wanted us to do, or to position ourselves in places where we could naturally fix it. But I'm going to tell you, that is a supernatural year. It is a supernatural season. So in what God is saying to you, if He's not telling you what to do, don't do anything but have faith. Don't do anything but have faith. And watch what the Lord of hosts does for you. Because think about David, fully Philistine, standing there, and God sitting there saying, David, I want to fight this battle for you, bud. I want to come in, and I want to lift your humble little heart up, and I want to set you on that throne. I want to do this for you. This is what the way that God showed it to me. You know the scripture that says he'll put a table before us in the presence of our enemies? All right, I believe that God wants to in this season. I believe He wants us when the enemy is in front of us. I believe God wants to begin to feed us and to feed us and to feed us in such a way on God's love and His acceptance and His purpose and His plan that the enemy sits there and watches our life change right before his eyes. God's word will feed you in a season, and it will cause you to become what God wants you to become. But if you keep on putting your hands in it, if we keep on naturally thinking that we have some part to play in this battle, if God didn't give you a part to play except to stand in faith, your job is to just stand in faith. Stand in faith. Stand in faith. Stand in faith and know that your God did not bring you here to make a fool out of you. He brought you here to do something for you. And I believe it's a supernatural work. I believe it is a holy work. I believe it is something that God only could do for you. So, as this year continues to unfold, as these seasons continues to unfold, I believe each one of us are going to be challenged in this area right here. We're going to feel like, God, we need to do something. Because, you know, David's feeling that he needed to do something moved him even away from his family. When David was going to battle with Saul, the truth is, when David was going to battle with Saul, the enemy was sending an attack on David's home. Remember Ziklag? The same time that the battle was coming against Saul, the same battle, there was a battle coming against David's home. Insecurities that we allow in our life, they affect so much more than us. Insecurities that we allow in our life, they affect our kids. They affect our wives. See, if David would have been where he was supposed to be, standing in faith, even maybe sometimes with his hands in his pocket, saying, God, I'm just believing because you are the one that will see this through for me. If David would have been there, I'll tell you, his family would not have been attacked. David would have been in a place where God had told him to be. But because David was insecure and being led by his feelings, his family got attacked. Now, the difference between David and Saul is that David had history with God. When the enemy came against Saul, there was no history there. David tried to make history. Saul tried to make history. Saul tried to go and find out all these ways to hear God, but there was no relationship there. But David, when David got back home, when he realized, man, I'm not a Philistine. What am I doing here? I'm a child of God. God told me something, and I'm just going to go and stand and sit and wait and believe. When he got back home, the enemy had attacked his family. And he had taken all of them. And he had moved them away. But you know what David did? David did what he should have done back in chapter 27. David realized that he was insecure. David realized there were things about himself that he didn't know. David realized that he was fighting fears of abandonment and lies of the enemy. And when everybody else wanted to stone David, David got on his knees and he said, God, you're going to have to encourage me right here. You're going to have to speak to me. And David's battle was a completely different story than Saul's battle. Because David heard from God. David heard from God. Now that battle right there with Saul was the ending of Saul's life. That was the beginning of David's journey as king. I'm going to tell you, I believe that most of us, where we're walking at right now, we're at the end of a season. And I believe that God is getting ready to start a new season. But I believe that we have got to allow God. We have got to allow God to be God. We've got to allow God to speak when he speaks. And when we don't hear him speak, we've got to be able to stand and believe on what he has spoken to us. And I believe that as we continue to walk out this season, each one of us that stand in faith will find out that God is not a God who abandons us. That God is a God who shows up and makes us be exactly what he told us that he would do. If everybody in here will close your eyes just for a second. Father, I know without a doubt that you are here. And I know, Father, that of all the things mishapped and all that I have said, I know that there are things that you want to say. So, Lord, I ask right now, Father, that you would come into this moment and that you would solidify in every person's heart here a faith and a truth that this is not the end of your story. Lord, I ask that you would come in and you would speak a truth that you would build on a faith that you would let them walk out of here tonight knowing I'm in the right place. I'm in the right moment. I've got to get my focus on the right things. Lord, I pray that you will continue to speak and we will continue to focus not on our fears, not on our insecurities, not on our intimidation, not on all the things around us, not even on what the natural looks like, Father. I pray that you will begin to help us focus on what supernaturally you are saying and doing in our lives. Father, I pray right now that as you challenge us with humility, as you challenge us with faith, as you challenge us sometimes to just sit still and wait on you, that we will be a person who can be found faithful, having faith and trusting in you. Lord, I pray a supernatural blessing tonight over every person's here, that their hearts will be solidified, that the covenant that you made with them, that you secure it tonight even deeper. That the promises that you spoke into their spirits, that you quicken it tonight, and that it comes up in such a way that it's like the first time they ever heard those words from you. Lord, I pray that you speak tonight in such a way that even in all of these words, that you have spoken something that has grabbed their heart and that has spoken truth. And anywhere the enemy has been trying to lie to them about abandonment, that truth sets them free right now. I bind the lie of abandonment and I break its power off of our lives. I command that spirit will not bear fruit in this season in our life. We break a commitment with it. We release it from a part of our thought process and our feelings. And Father, right now, Lord, we just lift our hands. If everybody in here would just lift your hands and we just simply say, God, we trust you. God, we trust you. We trust you to finish it because you were the one that began it. And we are excited that you are in control. Lord, we release to you every part of our plan, every part of our path, and we trust you to do what only you can do. You can finish it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.